and we'll go. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. And God, we prepare our hearts for your word. God, I pray that you would instruct us this morning. You would teach us this morning. I pray that we would learn things this morning. But I pray, God, that you would give us application to what we learn. So that, God, we can go out and be accurate representatives of you in the world that we live. And God, we thank you, God, for it. We ask your anointing as I speak. God, I pray that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. 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 All right. Well, I don't know where this is going, but this is my message for this morning. And we'll see where we go next week. But the message is entitled, Now Turn and Go North. Everybody say, Now Turn,
now turn.
And Go North.
So
that's the title of our message this morning, and we want to talk. We'll get into it, and we'll see where that comes from in a minute. But I just want to make this announcement. I've talked about how much I disdain mustard a couple of weeks ago, and wow, you guys just—that's like every joke that y'all tell me is now about mustard. So it's always good. I still do hate mustard. It's not changing. And if they like seriously, when we're in heaven, if they have mustard, I'm just gonna. Thank you, Jesus, but no. So I'm sure it'll be like, even if it's like glorified mustard, it would be terrible mustard. But I wanted to talk about something else I really don't like this morning. And this thing I want to talk about is rides that I don't like. Like the number one rides, like a thing that, and like playground things that I don't like. And the number one thing on that list is merry-go-rounds.
What?
Merry-go-rounds. This, let me just tell you. So, and there's a couple of reasons and a couple of different types. This thing, I was terrified of these things when I was a little kid because I'm not the biggest guy. And I don't know if you've noticed. I am not the biggest guy in the whole world, although I'm getting bigger. Praise the Lord. We're working on that by faith in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. Tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the day. But one of the things that reason I don't like, see this little picture of this cute little girl, and she's gently spinning it. That was not my story. This is not an accurate representative of this death machine. Because when we played on it, there was about three of us usually on it, and the big bully, big kid would always come, and he would grab hold of it and spin it as fast as he could until every one of those kids, by, you know, centrifugal force, would fly off of this thing. Hoping, you know, and you just go, you're just holding on for dear life, right? Golly, I hated these things. And then underneath, I was always fearful that I would be trapped underneath that little thing. Like, and you just go, you know, like, I was terrified. I hated these things. Yeah. Oh, that's the truth. I hated these things. This thing, like, just, it was terrifying to me. So, anybody else? Is anybody else, like, anybody? Okay, no. No, I'm alone. Yeah, wow, this is awesome. You still love me. All right, so I didn't like these things. So that was like a childhood, like I would have nightmares about these goofy little things spinning around and around and, you know, just holding on as best you could to those little rusted little bars. Oh, my God. And then get sick and nauseous and, you know, just want to throw up. And I don't even do rides like that. Like when you go, anything that goes around really fast, I'm like, nope. Teacups, nope. If you're on the teacup with me and you spin that goofy little round thing in front of you, I'll be so mad. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, anyway. All right, we're going to have some prayer over here, Pastor. Healing. Those things terrified me. Those things terrified me. All fear is gone in your presence, Lord. In your presence. I don't know if God's presence is ever on these things.
Well, have you seen
the... What's that?
They have seats now.
They have seats now. Yeah. Oh man, I gotta go. I gotta finish my message. Okay. My message is called Now Turn and Go North. Now Turn and Go North. The next kind of thing, and y'all are gonna hate me for this, I know, but the next kind of little merry-go-round are these kind of merry-go-rounds. The carousel. I do. It is like, I know. Now, I wasn't scared of these, although every creepy movie has this carousel like this. And I'm telling you, like, there's all the creepy stuff in these movies. They happen on these carousels, like around the, you know, like, it's like, yeah, go to the carousel. No, don't go to the carousel. That's where all the bad guys are. Because the creepy little music, like, there's clowns there, praise God. And but one of the things I don't like about it is it's just like, you put me on a roller coaster, I'm all about it. You put me on, like, I'm going somewhere where things are happening. This thing is just the same thing over and over. Like, seriously, you just kind of go around. You wave to your family. And you go back around. And then you wave to your family. Hey. And you go back around. It's the same thing over. Hey, how you doing? And like then you're like, you know, I remember going as a kid. But when our kids were smaller, we'd go around and like Julie would just stand there. And then, like, the third time, she's like gone. She's like, I'm even done with this. Isn't that true? She's like, I got stuff to do. Like, this is so, but it's the same thing over and over. It's the same kind of thing over and over and over again. You're waving to the same people. It's the same scenery over and over. That can be our life. It's the same thing over and over and over. You see the same troubles hit your life over and over and over. You see the same problem over and over and over. You see the same lukewarmness in your life over and over. And you seem to can't break it because it's like the merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. It's the same scenery over and over and over again. So what do we have to do? And the children of Israel were in that same boat. Moses had led the people out of Egypt, right? It's the type and shadow of God leading us out of our sin. And protecting them through the Red Sea, right? Jesus has come, and he set us free from our old life, right? He set us free from the power of sin and death. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been made right with him, just like the Israelites in the wilderness. But they went out, remember the story? They went out, and God says, go take the, now, right? It was supposed to be, from Egypt into the Promised Land, which is 11-day journey. It took them 40 years. 40 years. So in about the 38th year, God shows up after all the, quite honestly, the doubt and unbelief people had died off. That God comes to him and says this in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Now turn north. God's telling these guys, listen, it's time. It's time. You've been going around this mountain. You've been going around this wilderness long enough. Now turn north. Set your face towards the Promised Land. It's time for you to go in. You've been going around this mountain long enough. And I feel like the word for some of us this morning is, you've been going around this mountain long enough. Now turn and go north. Go to the Promised Land where God's called you to be. Go and be the people. Some of us, we've been going around that same mountain of worry long enough. It's time to turn. You've been hovering around that fear of whatever that thing is long enough. It's time to turn north. You've been resting safely in the circle of your comfort zone long enough. It's time to turn and go north. See, God had bigger plans for the Israelites than just wandering around in the desert. He had bigger plans for those Israelites than just walking around in the same place. He delivered them from bondage, but he wasn't done with them yet. He had another place. See, listen, your salvation wasn't the end. It was just the beginning of the life, of the new life in God that God has for you. the deliverance from Egypt wasn't the end of their story. They had a promised land coming. They had to get them out of Egypt to get to the promised land, right? And it's the same way with us. See, we are destined. Candy talked about, if you miss Candy, oh, but Candy talked about last week. There's an adventure for us to live. There's a life that God's asked us to live. Not the everyday, mundane, carousel, merry-go-round life. He has an adventure for us to live. He has a life for us to live. You can live that adventure. You can live in that promised land. You can live where God's called you to be. And that merry-go-round life doesn't have to be over. Some of you this morning, God, you feel that. When I said it this morning, God, you felt it in your heart. Yeah, it's time for me to turn and go north. There was a guy that was, his father was a miner in Minnesota. And his family moved around often because of his father's job. They finally settled in a small town in Lake Stevens, Washington. The family struggled financially as his father was diagnosed with MS during his senior year of high school. This kid was the hometown hero. He was involved with wrestling, football, and theater, but after that it took him some trial and error to find out what life really meant. Part of that trial and error was involved in drugs and alcohol. A real turning point for him, however, came when he was getting ready to go to a party while living in Hawaii and working as a waiter at Bubba Gump's Shrimp Company. He was hoping to find fun at this party through alcohol, drugs, and the girls, but he was in for a surprise because a man approached him outside a grocery store and told him, "Jesus told me to talk to you." Who is this young kid? Chris Pratt. God arrests if you know the story about Chris Pratt. He may not be everything that you would desire in a Christian, but he speaks his faith boldly. He's a man of his faith. And it happened because one adventurous young man went up to him in a grocery store parking lot and said, "God spoke to me and wanted me to talk to you." Told him about Jesus, invited him to church. Chris Pratt says he goes, "I was just drawn to this guy." Wonder what that drawing was. He said, "I was just drawn by the charm of this guy. And when he invited me to go to church, I went to church with him." Gave his life to Jesus. Chris Pratt. It's amazing how one adventure-filled moment led to a guy now who is solid believer in a place where there's not a lot of solid believers. God had a bigger plan for that young man at that grocery store. It wasn't just a grocery store day for that young man. It wasn't a grocery store day for Chris Pratt either. Then, another story. The See You at the Flagpole youth event usually draws a big crowd. But at this high school, one young man turned up and a brave boy stood all alone and prayed by himself. A passerby took a picture of this and shared it on Facebook. This picture went viral. A friend showed called this lady and said, "Hey, have you seen this picture?" She looks at the picture, that's her son standing by himself praying at the flagpole. She immediately texted her son, Hayden, his name's Hayden, and he told him how proud she was of him. But what he revealed when he got home was even more incredible. Hayden was just as surprised of all the attention that his mom and all the people had given him. He had originally thought he'd just go and pray until somebody came along and joined him. But when nobody else joined him, he asked God to use him. He told me With sheer amazement in his voice that he stood alone and prayed, the cry of his heart had been, God, as people drive by, let them wonder and let their hearts be tugged. And boy did God answer that prayer. This picture went viral. There are people out there that don't understand why we pray. It wasn't a wasted effort. But Hayden proved just how powerful prayer really is. And his mom was proud of her son. His mom said this as a reminder for us all. Whenever it is in your life that you stand alone, God sees, he knows, and you can do big things. Keep that picture up. As he stood alone, as a young man, determined to stand out for God. As a man at a grocery store, determined to follow after God. A simple act could be a moment, both times could be a moment of embarrassment. Hey, I believe that Jesus has something. I don't want to hear your Jesus, right? He took the risk. The boy walked up. Maybe somebody will join me. But even if they don't, I'm standing here and I'm going to pray at this flagpole. And God used them. God used his story. See, God has asked us to live outside of ourselves. God's asked us to live a bigger life than what's on the inside of us. It's time for us as believers to quit going just around the mountain. Quit going just around the normal. See the same thing over and over and over again. And it's time for us to step out, turn, and go north and fulfill what God's called us to be. Maybe it's just as simple as sharing your faith with a coworker. Maybe it's just powerful as a standing by yourself when nobody else wants to stand with you, wherever you're at. But there comes a time where we have to say, you know what? I'm not going back. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to the way things were. I can never go back. I press on. I push forward to what God's called me to do. So how do we do that? How can we allow God to do things in our lives? How do we turn and face north? The first thing is simply this. Give Jesus your entire life. Give Jesus, not just a portion. Give Jesus your everything. Your entire life you give him. You make him Lord. Make him the thing that's first above everything else. He's not just a Sunday morning God. He's not just a Sunday morning God. It's not just something, you know, you hear this, well, I want to get on Sunday so I can get through the rest of the week. No, he's with you all through the week. He's with you and can be with you all through the week. I heard this guy say it like this. He said it so well, I want to repeat it. He says, when you accept Jesus into your life, and let's say you have 100 things, when you accept Jesus, it's not like you now have 101. It's not just another thing that you add to your list of things that you have, right? Yeah. Right? I'm married, I have a house, I have a car, and I have Jesus. Right? No, when you accept Jesus, you don't just add another thing to your life. When you accept Jesus, now Jesus helps you and works in every one of those other 100 things that you have. It helps you interact with every one of those other 100 things that you have in your life. See, when you accept God into your life and you decide that you say, I'm going to be a person that goes after God and serves God. Now, the thing is, I hadn't just added something. I put God into my life and he affects everything, every part of my decisions that I make. He affects how I interact with my wife, with my kids. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not. So he helps us in every aspect of all of those things. The way I'm an employee at my job. It affects how I live my life as a believer. When you live with integrity, Because God has changed your life. And you say, I don't just work for my boss. I work for God. I remember my bold friend went up to his boss one day and his boss was giving him accolades about how great of a job he was doing and just wanted to, actually, I think he gave him a raise at that moment, if I remember right. But anyway, he was giving him accolades and just telling him how great of a job he's doing. And you know what my friend said? He looked at his boss square in the eye and said, you know what, I appreciate that, but all due respect, I don't really work for you, I work for God. And God's standards are higher than yours. Because he chose to live his life and he didn't just add something to his life. No, he allowed what he believed to affect. What do we say? What you think, what you say, and what you do. How you live your life is affected by adding Jesus as the center of your life. And I don't know about you, but we could really use an infusion of the life of God in every aspect of our lives. See, or accurately represent him in your workplace, in your home life, in the marketplace, wherever you go, you accurately represent him. Through you surrendering your life to Jesus. See, surrendering your life, you know, we talk about that. If you're, I went to a old good Baptist school. Thank God for my Baptist school. I learned a lot of great stuff. But they would talk about how you surrender your life to Jesus. That meant you get saved. But really, that's not a one-time thing. See, every time you get up in the morning, you surrender your life to Jesus. Every time you go and you choose to seek the Lord, you surrender your life to Jesus. You whenever you choose to walk in love, when you need to humble yourself and ask forgiveness, when you feel so justified, you acknowledge Jesus in everything that you do. You don't just add Jesus to your life. When Jesus comes in, he affects everything. When you make Jesus Lord, he is really Lord. The old time guys used to say, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. It's time for the church to rise and be the people that God's called us to be. That we live a life that's well-pleasing to him. First thing that we do. Do you want to allow God to do big things? You want to turn and go north? Make Jesus Lord. Turn true north and make Jesus Lord of everything that you do. The next thing you can do is put your past in the past. Put your past in the past. In Jesus, you are made new. You're made to live new. In a new way of life. I'm watching this, and listening to these podcasts, and they're talking about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? And Jesus, let me just say, Jesus didn't just come to provide salvation. He came to proclaim a new way of living. A new life that we live. And it's so well put. And when Jesus is on, you know why the Sermon of the Mount is such a big deal? That we talk about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' greatest sermon ever is the Sermon on the Mount. Absolutely 100%. Because what is Jesus doing? He's saying all these things, all this stuff of the world and all the actions of the world and how the world operates, I'm about to flip this joker all upside down. I'm going to take the things that you think are important. I'm going to flip them all upside down. Because let me tell you what the kingdom of God is. Jesus would over and over again say, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And then he fully presents it, I believe, at the Sermon on the Mount. You want to know what the kingdom is like? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Is that part of us? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. See, Jesus came and says, you know what? This all of this eye for an eye stuff and all this, you know, I got to do, what, you know, all this non-meek stuff and these pride and arrogance and all this stuff, Jesus says, I'm going to flip it all upside down. There's a new way to live. And it's meek, and it's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's being merciful. It's being pure at heart. It's being peacemakers. It's being persecuted, standing alone. There's a new kingdom, and Jesus is the King. And He showed us how to walk in it. And He showed us how you can put those old things, those old ways of life behind you and walk in a new way. It's time to turn and go north to the promised land where God's called us to be. And walk in the awesome power and authority and the confidence that all of that brings. It's in the new person that we're asking God to help us become. To put our past in the past and press forward to a new way of living, a new way of life. To turn and face north. Some of us go around the mountain. Also, we need to put the past of our addictions behind us. We go, you know what? And I call it my Popeye moment. I've had all I can stands. I can't stands no more. I can't stand anymore. I'm about to, you know, bust open this thing of spinach. Right? And I'm about to show you my muscles with tanks on it and stuff. Like moving tanks. Remember those days? Yeah. Like, I've had all I can stand. I can't stand anymore. I'm going to turn north. I'm tired of going around this mountain of addiction. I'm tired of going around this this place of low self-esteem. Yeah. And I'm tired of living, can I just be honest? I'm tired of living in the things that people did to me in the past. And I'm going to move forward in Jesus. Now, is that a process? Yes, it's a process. It's a process because some of us have been through some pretty terrible things when you were younger. Some of us have been through some pretty awful experiences, and they try to creep their way back into the life that we live. Listen, what I heard Christine Cain say this. She says, what they did to you is not more powerful than what Jesus has done for you. She's good. Addiction, low self-esteem, worry. Aren't you tired of worrying? Aren't you tired? I'm tired of going around the mountain of worry. I'm tired of going around the mountain of fear. And I'm tired of going around the mountain of comfort. It's time to turn and go north. It's time to embrace all the things that God has for us. The promised land's waiting. I can think, so I've been, you know, you gotta be careful when you say this, but I've been doing this for, 29 years? Yeah, 29 years. That's why my body's so sore from playing softball yesterday. Mark said it like this. He said, man, my 12-year-old mind was trying to catch up with my older body yesterday. That is so true. It is so true. Like in my mind, man, I'm the fastest dude out there. My body said, no, you're not. But there's no other way to live. There's no other way to live. I can't imagine what my life would be if I was just a nominal going to church on Sundays believer. I can't imagine what my life would be. Living all out. And then, what was it, Friday? I'm probably getting myself into trouble. But wasn't Joan there on Friday? Was it Friday or the week before? Two Fridays ago. Joan was there. She's what? How old is Joan? 83. At Super Search. With a bunch of the kids. You know what she was doing? Walking up to all the ladies, speaking Spanish to her, because she knows Spanish. Loving on the moms. She's 83 years old. Love it. Love it. Yes. Love it. But just live that life of like, I'm just going to live it. I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go on a mission trip this next year. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to decide I'm going to start seeking God on a regular basis. I'm going to be the person. I'm going to know my word. I'm going to know the word. I'm going to start going to a small group. Living my life. I'm going to, on purpose. You know, I heard somebody say this. They said, you know what, if you want to learn algebra, you got to study algebra. If you want to know more about Jesus, you got to study Jesus. Yeah. It doesn't just happen. You get to know Him. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 says this. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says this. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press toward, I strain toward what is ahead of me. I press to the goal. What's the goal? See, in heaven, there are promises awaiting us. There's reward awaiting us. And to remind us of our Francis Chan message, that we live our lives on that long rope, if you could see that long rope again, that we stretch for all the way down the hall, and we mark that little place, that this was your life on that rope, but the eternity was on and on and on. And what you do here affects how you live there. I don't live my life. What is this world? Like, have we learned it yet? Like, what is this world? This world is nutso. Our political world is nutso. No matter which side you're on. Our people, the people, and it's all broken. Listen, it boils down to brokenness. We have the answer in Jesus. We have hope for people. That God, who can take broken things and put them all back together, He's better than the Humpty Dumpty guys, because Jesus can put all things back together again. And you may see some, listen, this is so good. Thank you, God. You may see some cracks in me, but let me tell you, they're part of my story. They're part of who I am. I may walk with a limp for the things I've done, some of the stuff I've had to go through and walk through, but you know what? Those limps has caused me to understand God's faithfulness in those times. That those things that I've been through are now my testimony of what God can do in my life and through me. So don't tell me it's impossible, because I've seen way too much impossible things happen. Because I've watched God take my things that the devil meant for evil and turn them around and make them for good. And watch, I remember going through addiction and say, I told the enemy, you'll rue the day you ever mess with me. Because I will make your life miserable for the people I see get set free after I get set free. I'm going to watch it happen. Because now my testimony helps other people get set free. And the stuff I've been through, listen, I put my past behind me, but let me tell you, it's part of my story. Amen. And I will bring it out whenever I need to kick the little devil's butt over somebody else's life. Come on. It's time for us to turn and go north. Your trial will be your testimony. This is not the end of the story. God has great things for us. And I'm not going to sit around and watch my life just go around like the merry-go-round. Are there areas in my life where there's a merry-go-round? Absolutely. Do I see the same things? All of us do. But I'm determined to turn and go north. Amen. Are you determined? Worship team, young, go ahead and come back up. Are you determined to turn and go north? Are you pressing this morning? God, what is that thing? What is that thing as the worship team comes? What is that thing, God, that you're doing in me? What is that thing that you want to do in me? Where maybe fear has held me down, or maybe that self-esteem, that low self-esteem and that low self-worth has beaten you down so much that you can't move forward in what God's called you to be. God's turning it around for good. God's making a way. Amen? Let's all stand together. As you stand, say, turn and go north. Say, I am. Turning and going north. Do your last song. Your last song. Yeah. Jesus, come on, look to Him. It's early. We're just going to take a moment with this last song. Come on, just you and Him. Just bow your heads. Just you and Him. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship God of this song.
You alone, and no,
one, just you and him. Just you and him. My soul thirsts for you. You alone. You alone, God. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? What is God speaking to you? What's that drawing in you this morning? What is that thing that God wants to do in you? Now I want you to imagine whatever that thing is. I want you to think that thing that you feel like holds you back. What if that thing was gone? What if that thing didn't exist anymore? What if low self-esteem and low self-worth didn't exist anymore in your life? What if the only thing that you knew was confidence in your God? It would change everything. Change everything. It's found in Him. It's found in Him. It's found in Him. It's not found on a Sunday morning message. It's not found in your next podcast. It's not found in another book that you read. It's found in Him. All those things are great and they all point to Him. But it's found in Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less. So God, we look to You. And God, we thank You, God. I want to speak hope to You this morning. I want to speak purpose to You this morning. What's the idea, the main thing of this message? Is that there's hope and there's purpose for you this morning. And you can be everything that God designed you to be. Hope in God. If you're in this place today and you say, man, I really, really need prayer this morning. I am just going through it. I'm just going through it this morning. And you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. Please don't leave here. Because I believe in the power of agreement. You never know. They might, somebody up here, the people that pray, we talk to them. We talk to the people who pray over you. And we tell them, you know, just be led by the Spirit of God. And maybe you might hear a word that's going to ignite you for this next week. You're going to know that God spoke to you this morning. If that's you, they're going to sing this some more. If you need to leave, you can leave. But I would challenge you. This is one of those moments, right? But some of us, you need to maybe linger here a little bit. Some of you may, if you need to leave, you can leave. But some of you need to linger here a little bit. But we open these altars up for prayer. Maybe God needs to speak to you this morning.